Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Ron.
I'm Jean Marie.
And I'm Lita. Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are talking about the complex world of multiple chronic illnesses once again with Anna Cooper. Anna is a 35-year-old female who has an independent spirit inside of a body that holds an alphabet of health conditions. Anna worked as a case manager for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, where she loved to advocate for her clients. When her health forced her to take a step back from working, things have been rough as she looks for a new way to advocate for herself and for others. Hello, Anna, and thank you again for taking the time to join us again.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Hi, Anna. This is Ron. For today's show, starting us off, what did you want? What chronic illness did you want to discuss today?
Today we'll be discussing mast cell activation syndrome, which people that have it call it MCAS.
Okay.
So I'll be referring to it as MCAS for the rest of this episode to save time.
Mm-hmm.
And MCAS is basically where the body releases inappropriate amounts of chemicals, mast cells, and causes allergic symptoms and a range of other symptoms.
Okay.
With sometimes no trigger.
Okay.
All right. And what symptoms first led you to your diagnosis of MCAS? And are those typical symptoms making it easy to diagnose?
The symptoms that led me to meet with the allergist was that I was having hives with no known trigger. I mean, I was waking up with hives, getting hives in the middle of the day. And it seemed to be the more energy I used, the worse the hives were. And between that and the long list of allergies I have to medications and cleaning products, that led the doctor to do the testing for MCAS.
Okay.
The symptoms of hives is so common with other conditions, well, MCAS is usually not looked for.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But Anna, was there a triggering event? You know, were you sick? Did you get injured? Was there anything before you started experiencing symptoms? Or is this illness brought on by genetics?
I don't think I had a triggering event. My symptoms started when I was in early elementary school. And they did get worse during and after chemotherapy that I had when I was 8. They did start before. I do think there is a genetic component to it because it is a common co-occurring condition with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a genetic condition.
Okay.
Okay. And Anna, did your healthcare team need to run any tests to arrive at a diagnosis, or was it a process of elimination?
They had to run multiple tests. I can't remember all the tests they gave me. I knew there was a lot of blood tests, a lot of urine tests. And the 24-hour urine test was looking at the levels of trapeptes, histamine, and I cannot say the last
one. Prostaglandins.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And so they looked for those to be elevated, and they were.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, Anna, how common is MCAS? Is it common or is it rare?
It'd be rare. When I looked it up to get the exact percentage, what I found from the Mayo Clinic was that it affects about 2% of the population.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Very rare.
Pretty rare,
yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and I could not find the exact numbers of how prevalent it is in the EDS community, but I know it is more common in the EDS community than it is in the general public.
Okay.
Well, this might seem like a silly question since it is so rare, but before your diagnosis, did you ever hear of it before? Or do you have any family members or friends that have had it?
I had actually heard about it from one of the EDS support groups on Facebook. So, like, there would be people talking about their MCAS and the different frustrations or when they found treatments that worked. Mm-hmm. So I had heard about it. I kind of knew a bit about what it was. And so going into the allergist appointment, I was kind of thinking that that's probably what they would find.
Okay.
I do have a sister that has EDS as well. So there's a possibility that she has it, but she's not being tested for it at the moment because she doesn't have any of the normal signs for it.
Okay.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And Anna, how have you and your healthcare team chosen to treat or mitigate your symptoms?
There's a whole bundle of things that you do. The most important one is to obviously avoiding any known triggers. Mm-hmm. But I'm on 2 different allergy medications, 1 twice a day, 1 once a day. I'm on 2 different protein pump inhibitors medications. So that's Nexium and Formalidine, which you normally take 1, and mm-hmm. I take both. The one that I think has made the biggest difference is every 28 days, I have the Xolair injection, which really helps with the hives. And then the Benadryl that I take every night so I don't like scratch through my central line dressing or scratch my skin till it bleeds and doing it in my sleep when I don't, not aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like you've got quite the tackle box full of drugs there.
Well, yeah, I feel like a lot of us, we're like balloons, and without all of our medications, we would be, you know, the deflated balloon. But with all of our medications, we can get through most days. So I feel for you. Anna, what role does nutrition play in your life now? And I hate to even ask because I just recently asked someone and they were like, oh, no. but like, for example, does pineapple help? Because I just asked them what this,
yeah, please
and they were
explain.
Like, they're like, I am severely allergic to pineapple. And I was like, don't do it. But if you don't have pineapple allergy, there's something in there called bromelain acid, and it can help reduce your body's inclination to produce histamines. So I don't know if you've ever tried that, or are there any other foods that make your symptoms better or worse?
Well, for me, nutrition is a little bit of a tricky subject because of the severity of my gastroparesis. Mm-hmm. I get all of my nutrition through TPN, which is basically nutrition through bloodstream. So I can eat liquid foods.
Okay.
And that's it. So obviously, like pineapple, I could eat maybe some pineapple juice, but not pineapple itself.
Right. Okay. Right.
I have found I have 4 food allergies that we know of: apple, pear, watermelon, and cabbage, because it had to be the 4 most random foods. And apple is in like everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that creates a lot of pain and hives. But I have found that hot tea, especially when I'm doing the mint tea, that does reduce the hives and the abdominal pain. It just kind of helps me feel more level.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And are you aware that hives can occur inside the body as well?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm so sorry that you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, she's aware of that.
Earlier today as well.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah.
What about your daily activities? Do you have to modify them to ease your symptoms or manage what's going on daily?
In a way, my daily activities are adjusted, modified in any way. I am allergic to a lot of cleaning products. Mm-hmm. So I have to wear a mask and gloves when I use the cleaning products. But because of my health at the moment, I have someone else who does my cleaning for me. So that really helps. Then I'm not having to come into contact with different cleaning products that, you know, I'll send to trigger my mast cells. Mm-hmm. And just avoiding triggers as like, any big triggers that I know for sure, and having to balance how much energy I use in a given day, since that has been shown as a trigger.
Okay. In that regard, how do you balance, you know, activities? You know, like, can you do things very early in the morning and then like space things out throughout the day? Or how do you balance your active time?
My active time, I kind of do things in stages. I don't do anything too much in the morning because it takes a while for my brain to fully wake up.
Sure. Okay.
Apparently that's a narcolepsy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like early mid-afternoon is usually when I'm like the most active.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I'm like that active because I can't really exercise other than my PT exercises.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to do something, if I'm going to like go out to the store, which happens like once every several months, I'll do it in the early afternoon. Mm-hmm. Because then it lines up with my medications. That's when I have the most energy to commit to doing something.
All right. Anna, what do you feel is the most misunderstood aspect of MCAS?
I would say a lot of people assume that hives and anaphylaxis is the only symptoms of MCAS. They are the most common and most visible, but they're not the only symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that misunderstanding before I did research on the MCAS. And I can see several other headaches is on there, which I didn't know at first.
Well, yeah, it makes sense.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, because it's your mast cells.
You'll have to explain it to me. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Breakout diagrams. Okay.
This is a good time to interject.
Okay.
To better serve our listening audience, we are an affiliate of a major medical supplier in the United States. You will find affiliate links on our website, Podcast DX. They aim to tailor specific medical supplies and equipment based on your diagnoses to make it less stressful than looking through an entire catalog for what you might need. We are open to your suggestions and will adjust our offerings based on what you, our listeners, find helpful.
Thank you, Ron. And Anna, do any alternative therapies such as massage therapy, acupuncture, heat, ice, recreational therapy? Yeah, I threw that in.
Mm-hmm.
Do those help alleviate any of your symptoms?
Well, I've never heard of recreational therapy. So you might have to enlighten me on that one. But
how much time do you have?
We're both recreational therapists.
Well, like I said, more than open to learning about it.
Right.
I haven't tried any like alternative therapies like specific for my MCAS or since I've been diagnosed, but I have in the past, and we're pretty sure I've had MCAS for most of my life. But I know like massage therapy, the massage will help.
Okay.
But they always use oils in that, and like 9 times out of 10, I end up being allergic to the oils.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that makes it worse.
Okay. Yeah.
And that, go ahead.
I was just going to say, maybe you have to, do a test with your allergist to find out which oils you are least reactive to and bring mm-hmm. your own with you. Just because, yeah.
Well, Anna, the last statement you mentioned about the oil kind of triggering that leads into what are some less apparent parts of your life that have been affected by MCAS? For example, the massage with the oil mm-hmm. now is impacted. Is there anything
else? Yeah, and you also mentioned cleaning products. And,
right.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of hard to say because, you know, most people wouldn't be able to see, but like I adjust my whole day, like throughout the day. Like I might have a plan in the morning, but I'll start getting flushing and I'll know that I'm overdoing it. So then I have to like slow down. Or I don't really try new lotions or soaps because, you know, I have so much of an allergy to things that it's just easiest to stay with what I can do. And yeah, I can't really clean very easily because I'm allergic to most of the cleaners,
mm-hmm.
even like the all-natural cleaners. I'm less allergic, but still allergic to them.
So do you find yourself reading the labels a lot more closely?
Oh, yeah. I read, like, pretty much any label. Medication labels, food labels, you know, labels on cleaning products. Especially, like, on laundry soap. Because
mm-hmm.
if I'm kind of being allergic to that, like, that's a huge hassle to
mm-hmm.
then have to remind her, okay, which clothes are just washed now that I've put them all away
mm-hmm.
and have to rewash. in something else.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, that's certainly a hidden part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anna, with everything opening up after the worst of the COVID pandemic is behind most people, hard to say that. The pandemic isn't over, but everything is opening up. What are you looking forward to doing in the next year?
I will still probably be doing a lot of my shopping online or having my parents pick up things so I can avoid big crowds.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, I'm planning to go to a medical conference at the end of June that is in St. Louis, which is 30 minutes from my goddaughter.
Oh, very cool.
Which means
very nice.
Will get to see her and spend some time with her in person.
Mm-hmm.
We video chat all the time, but it's different. It's been over a year since I've been able to actually see her in person, so I'm really looking forward
to
that.
You.
Yeah,
excellent.
Very cool.
Excellent.
And I personally love the art museum in St. Louis, but I don't know if that's for everyone. But it's one of
my favorite. That would be my goddaughter's place.
Oh, there you go. Okay. They have an unusual display sometimes. Like they'll incorporate, like they'll have, well, they'll maybe this one, maybe you want to check in advance. Because one time I went and they had floral displays inspired by paintings. And that might
be. That would not be good
for
me.
Yeah, that might not go over so well. Oh,
but,
wow.
But, yeah. Well, and Anna, what support have you received during your journey? I know you've been through a lot. And what role have your friends and family played and your online support group, friends and family?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my friends, family that I have like are in here personally, they've been really supportive of me. I have one friend who has all of my triggers and all of my food restrictions memorized.
She
memorized them first when I had the diagnosis of Crohn's in 2014. Okay. And then as things have progressed and then getting the gastroparesis, she actually has it memorized. And so if I go over to her house close to a mealtime, she almost always has something I can eat, which is, you know, not an easy feat. So that really makes me feel a lot less alone in the fight because I know she's taking the time to actually do the research. My online friends, they're just as, they're probably not as supportive as like people in person, but it's good when to have people you can vent to that understand dealing with mast cell activation syndrome, whereas like anybody else in my life, they can see what they can see, and they can't fully understand everything.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Anna, what role has self-care played in your life recently?
I would say self-care is very important, especially with MCAS, because as we've discussed, stress is a big trigger for my symptoms. And so I have been trying to make sure I spend at least 20 minutes a day doing something that I enjoy. I've gotten really into crocheting and diamond art. So I've been doing those as basically anytime I have a break from doing medical things, I end up doing either some crocheting or diamond art.
Did you say diamond?
Some days I get more done others.
Yeah, I was curious about that too.
That sounds like a very expensive hobby.
What is it?
It's not. It's you get a picture. It's kind of like paint by number, except it's little like plastic gems
or
beads that you put down.
Okay.
It kind of looks like it's like you get clear ones. It looks like they're diamonds, but they're not.
Okay.
Yeah. I would not be like doing anything with like real diamonds.
Okay.
I don't even think
sounds
I could.
Sounds kind of bougie though.
It would be.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah. And Anna, what advice do you have for someone who's been recently diagnosed with MCAS?
I would say make sure you find an allergist who has experience treating MCAS since it is so rare. Because if it's not treated properly, it can actually get quite a bit worse. Learn your triggers, the ones that you can identify, so you can avoid as much as possible. and learn how to lean on your friends and family for support, both emotional and physical.
Good advice.
Yes, excellent advice.
So, again, thank you for taking time to come back to our show. How can our listeners find you? How can they learn more about Anna?
I have an Instagram. I don't post as regularly as I would like, but I'll probably start. It's orange_zebra86.
Okay.
orange_zebra86.
Okay.
Yep.
On Instagram.
We will Perfect. Put a link for that on our website. Well, thank you, Anna, and it was an honor to speak with you again today. I hope you can take care of yourself and enjoy the summer. Get out and get your bare feet in the grass a little bit.
I don't know if everyone should do that.
Oh, okay. How about the sand?
I could do. Grass, okay. not so much.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show again. It feels like we're talking with an old friend. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and good luck at your medical conference.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And if our listeners have any questions or comments about today's show or what Lita just said, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast.
And as always, please remember that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard of this podcast.
Till next week.